Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes. Like a wolf at your window, like a bat out of Hades. I'm coming out like a freak show, so you have to receive me. You know you have to receive me, like a dog to a savior. But you don't have to appease me to get what you came for. But you have to receive me.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. If that song and the warm-up is any indication of what we're in store for from Raccoon Fighter at the end of the show, it's going to be some shredding. Straight up shredding and rocking. I'm Darren Bresnitz, one half your host of this cold-ass, bitter, dark Sunday. Bitter might not be the right word. Shout out to Greg. He's recuperating. Shout out to the entire Ace family. Still dealing with the loss of Alex Calderwood. Beautiful memorial yesterday. Please send your well wishes to acehotel.com/Alex. It's a crazy time. We are happy to be here. We cannot believe it's already Thanksgiving. It is going to be the Super Bowl of cooking at my house. My mom has already been test running recipes months in advance, trying different carrots to different sort of dishes. It's going to be awesome. Shout out to Mom. She's cooking right now. But first up, we have Nicholas Jamet from Sweet Green. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was funny on Monday night when I saw you at the Eater Awards, when you're like, when are we going to the show? And I was just like, how about Sunday?
Yeah, you called me out right there.
Called you out right there. Most people don't expect that. Most people go like, man, you never book us. And I go, just come on Sunday. I don't care. Stop pretending like it's my fault.
No, I'm glad you did.
So Nick and I first met back in 2011 or 2010?
2010, I think.
2010, yeah. When you launched the Sweet Life Festival, which was a music and food festival in D.C., and I think I hit you up, and I was like, hey, man, I do this cooking show called Dinner with the Band. I see you're doing this food and music festival, so we hopped in the car and drove down. But before you did the music festival, you started... Well, why don't you tell it yourself? What is Sweet Green?
Sure. So Sweet Green is a restaurant myself and two buddies, John and Nate, started when we were seniors at Georgetown about 6 years ago. And we just, you know, we're kind of sick of eating the things we were eating, you know, eating Chipotle every day or the cafeteria food, and decided to just build something ourselves.
Burrito Brothers? That's down there, right?
I don't know Burrito Brothers, but it sounds worse than DC. Chipotle.
I think it's DC Burrito Place, or it used to be.
Oh, I've never tried it.
Yeah.
But so we decided to solve the problem and just build something ourselves, and we all come from an entrepreneurial family, so wrote a business plan, signed a lease, and opened our first little salad shop, 500 square feet, two blocks off campus. And yeah, that was 6.5 years ago.
While you were still in college?
We started building it senior year, and then it opened about a month after graduation.
What did you think was going to happen?
You know, we had no idea. We were like, you know, seniors in Georgetown, and we had like a couple classes each per semester, had all this free time, so we wanted to do something that was fun and, you know, wanted to start building something. And I don't think we ever saw ourselves going to work for one of these, you know, investment banks or at a consulting firm like everyone around us, and so we were excited to kind of build something else.
What did those guys think about what you were doing?
At the time, you know, a lot of our friends were all supportive, and you know, some people thought we were crazy. A lot of teachers told us we should not be doing that. And
well, you
we
were crazy. I mean, opening up a restaurant is just crazy.
Yeah, we were crazy.
And now, how many stores?
So we will be at 22 this week.
22, that's crazy. You know, what I love about your restaurant, because I used to go to a place called Salad Works when I was a kid. And it was just, you know, they had a bunch of salad bar restaurants growing up. And they were just so boring. They were just, you know, it was like your chopped romaine. And then it was like any bodega salad that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. But you guys bring a different approach to that.
Yeah, for us, the whole idea is that, you know, we wanted to build a place that kind of fit our values and had the food we wanted to eat, but that wasn't boring or, you know, not, you know, or wasn't delicious. And we wanted to build a place where you could live this healthy lifestyle, but also enjoy it. And have it be aspirational and have it just be cool. And we didn't really see any place like that.
What to you is a healthy lifestyle?
For us, when we talk about healthy, we talk about, you know, honesty, transparency, knowing where your food comes from, and then just extreme balance. It's like you can go out at night and party and drink or do whatever.
Yes, we can.
But you can wake up in the morning and, you know, have a good, healthy start to your day, do some yoga, go for a run, have a green juice, and just like have that balance where you can always come back and make sure that you're putting some good stuff in your body too.
Are you a yoga man?
I've become a little bit of a yoga man. My business partner, John, is a big yogi, so he's gotten me into it.
Is that what you do? What is, do you run?
I'm more of a runner, but yeah. I like to, you know, change it up a bit. So yoga, running, those are probably the two main things I do.
So you were in D.C. I mean, talk to me about the growth. I mean, it's crazy because we've never actually had anyone on the show before who actually opened up a chain. We can call it a chain, right?
Yeah.
So when did you go from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 5 and 5 to 15? Like, at what point did you realize this is going to be more than just one store? Was it always a plan to do more than one store? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, early on we opened that first one, but the idea was always to scale this idea of healthy food and make it approachable but still aspirational. And, you know, we opened that first one and we had hopes of opening a bunch of others, but, you know, for us we were just focused on opening the second one and making sure we could then be more than just a one shop brand. And so we opened our second one about a year and a half later, and opened the second and third at the same time because the second was delayed and the third kind of sped up. So we opened the second and third a year and a half later and started to build the team and started to just kind of, you know, build a real company at that time.
So what was the hardest number to open of all the stores?
They're all challenging in different ways, but I'd probably say our fifth one in Capitol Hill. Just a bunch. We learned a lot about. We learned some good lessons about construction and what spaces to not take, and it was a really big challenge building that one out. So,
since you're not really in the fast food burger arena, has any of the bigger companies tried to squash you at all, or is it sort of they're like, oh, they do salad, like they're not really in our bullseye?
No, I mean we haven't really. You know, we have a very like friendly relationship with all food, other food brands around us, big and small, and we haven't really felt any negative energy like that. If anything, I think people like us and smaller businesses like us push them to do more things, some more progressive things, whether it's new menu items or just, you know, different marketing campaigns.
And you do a lot of local sourcing for all your food, right?
We do. So the whole idea is building a local supply chain around every city we're in and, you know, serving local, transparent food in a fast food setting. So coming to New York, we had to, you know, build a new network of farmers and producers and start from scratch.
Now, the thing about walking into any one of your shops, it does definitely not feel like a health food salad. Like, there's definitely a party vibe going on. Music and artwork and graffiti and things like that. What was the, I guess, foresight behind that?
Yeah, so for us, we like to think of the whole experience. So it's not just what you're eating and where it came from, but it's the whole vibe you're building from the design to the music. You know, music's a big part of our brand and our concept. And just really thinking about all those touch points that make someone want to come there. That makes it just kind of a conscious choice and not a convenience. So people come, you know, for lunch, a lot of times people are driven by convenience. It's whatever's in the bottom of the office building, whatever's quickest. But for dinner, it's people choose to go somewhere. They have a little more time. They've just worked out. They go to a place where they feel good about and they want to go. And, you know, we've got all of our stores are really busy at night till 10 o'clock at night. And
really?
So building a place like that where people choose to come to makes us feel really good. And I guess it allows us to build more of a kind of a relationship with the customer built on, you know, choice and loyalty.
I keep asking you to open up near a refinery.
We're getting there.
I know. All right, well, we're going to play a quick song. I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about the music festival and just about what it's like, you know, to come from D.C. and now being in New York. Do you miss D.C.?
I still live in D.C., so I love it very much. I love my D.C.-New York dual life.
Are there a lot of, like, D.C.-New York guys?
Not really.
No. It's not. It's a little, like, yeah. I like D.C.
It's a great city.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot in the past few years. A lot of development and...
I think I need to go back. I mean, I spent a lot of time there, like, a decade ago.
Oh, it's a different city.
I know.
You gotta come visit us.
Yeah, I should come down and throw down with you guys for a weekend. Yeah, super easy. All right, well, we're gonna play one of your favorite bands, and shout out to Haim, who slayed on SNL last night. And shout out to Brooke, who reps them, because she's the best. This is The Wire here on Snacky Tunes.
It's the most important part that relationships will go through. And I gave it all away just so I could say that. But I know that you're gonna be okay anyway. You know there's no rhyme or reason for the way you turned out to be. I didn't go and try to change my mind not intentionally. I know it's hard to hear me say it, but I can't bear to stay. And I just know that you're gonna be okay anyway. Always keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Oh, but I just couldn't take it. I tried out and I to beg it, but I fumbled. And when I came down through the wire, it felt bad. It felt right. Oh, but I fumbled. And when I came down through the wire, it felt bad. It felt right. Opportunities. I try to stay true to you, and I try to do what you wanted from me. And I give it up away just to hear you say that. But I know that you're gonna be okay anyway. Always keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Oh, but I just couldn't take it. I tried out and I to beg it, but I fumbled. Yeah.
your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Always keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Oh, but I just couldn't take it to you.
What's Mood? Mood is a quarterly magazine about music and food. For its creators, not many things can beat a good record and a delicious meal. Maybe a well-written story or a gorgeous photo. Well, that's all in Mood. The magazine looks at music and food in a cohesive and unique way, with a keen eye to design and high-quality writing. Its contributors are located around the globe, and the stories span accordingly. Check it out today at moodmusicfood.com. That's moodmusicfood.com.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We're talking to Nick from Sweet Green. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to New York.
Thanks for having me again.
So, you're based in D.C. You go, well, we have put a shop in every corner that we can possibly fit. And you're like, forget Philadelphia. We're going to the Big Apple. What was that decision like?
Well, we actually opened two in Philly a few years ago, just as like a test on our way up to New York.
I stand corrected.
And love Philly, great town. Still opening some stores there, so we're excited about that city.
I am totally. I didn't know you guys were open in Philly.
Yeah,
look what I'm learning.
Well, we don't have any in the center city yet.
Oh, but, okay. Where are you located?
One in UPenn and one in Ardmore.
Oh, I grew up in the Main Line.
Well, there you go.
I grew up in
No excuses.
Balakinwood. I only ever go home to see my parents, and when I go home, my mom either cooks or we go to Tony Luke's and get cheesesteaks.
All right, that's a good excuse then.
I'm sorry. But now that I know you're in Ardmore, I will definitely go there. I'll be there in 3 days.
Oh, great. Come check us out there.
How do you like Philly?
I love Philly. It's like you get a sense of like the great history that's there, and you walk around, there's like a great grittiness to the city, and people are super nice, and yeah, I really love it.
Did you run up the art museum steps?
Sorry?
Did you run up the art museum steps?
I did not yet.
Come on. Come on.
I have to do that. I'll add it to my list.
It's right near Penn. Sort of near Penn. All right. So you did Philly. Have you gotten a cheesesteak yet there?
I have.
Where'd you go?
A place on 16th Street.
Oh, my God. All right. No. Moving on. So New York. So tell me about New York. What made you decide to come to essentially 28th and Broadway?
Sure. So I'm originally from New York, born and raised here. And so we knew that one day we'd want to bring Sweet Green to New York. And we're just kind of waiting for the right time and the right opportunity and just making sure we felt ready. And, after a few years of looking and just kind of looking at some opportunities, we were approached by one of our friends, Roy, who works at the Seidel Group, and which built the Nomad Hotel. And
Beautiful hotel.
Yeah, beautiful hotel. And he kind of, brought this opportunity to us and said, we need a more casual operator here. We need something to fit next door to the Nomad.
Because that's a pretty fancy place.
Very fancy. And, Will Goddard and Daniel Hum from 11 Madison Park were doing the food program. Two of my favorite people in the world. And so we were sold. We thought it'd be the perfect way for us to enter New York and introduce Sweet Green here.
How much of your business actually comes from the hotel?
A lot more than I thought, actually. And it's great because we see families that stay there or travelers that will come in once and then come in 3 days in a row while they're staying there. So it's always great to see.
So what was it like opening in New York versus opening in D.C.? Like, now that since you were like sort of already up and running and since you sort of already had infrastructure, Was it as hard as some people were trying to start in New York? Like, did you feel that you had a better base and a better chance to actually succeed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had definitely had proof of concept in D.C., and, you know, we had learned a few things over the years, but New York, it's a different beast. And
own beast.
It's the big city, and so there were definitely a bunch of new challenges, and, you know, like I said, we had to build our local supply chain from scratch again, which is the fun part, but it does take a lot of time and energy, and we've got an incredible team doing it, but we were definitely nervous coming to New York.
But you're like New York family. Your mother, well, say who your mother is.
So my parents had a restaurant called La Caravelle for years, which was super fine dining, so opposite end of the spectrum, but...
I know, but that's like New York legendary dining.
I do miss it quite a bit.
Yeah, that must have been a nice thing to have. Did they help at all?
They did. You know, all of our parents, you know, John and Nate's parents and my parents have all been super helpful. But especially coming to New York, my mom's been, super helpful with just, you know, guiding us and giving us great advice about even from everything from the design to the service. And
she's got that New York grease.
She does.
You can't buy that. You got to build it.
You got to earn it. She put in her years.
You got to earn it. You got to put a little in. You get a pot when you move to the city and fill it up a little bit.
Her pot's full.
Her pot is full of New York grease. So a few years ago, which and we alluded to this at the top of the show, you guys stepped out of the store and onto the stage and launched a music festival, which some people would say is crazy because you won't talk about risk. Try moving 60, 70,000 tickets?
No, 20,000 every year, or this past 2 years.
Right, but 20 a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the year that Avicii played. That was awesome. A lot of kids.
Yeah, a lot of young kids that year. A
lot of youngins. They love that EDM. They love that handsome, and he's actually really handsome. Yeah, I can say that. I'm confident.
We got swept up in the EDM craze that year too.
Everyone did.
Yeah,
everyone did. So talk to me about the whole genesis of the festival, which is called Sweet Life. And you know, you guys didn't just put on a show. You guys did a 20,000 person festival.
Yeah, music's always been a big part of the concept, even from that first playlist opening day 6.5 years ago. It's always been a big part of the...
What was the first song you played?
It was a Daft Punk song.
Which one?
It was the whole album. We just played it on repeat.
Which one? Which album? Homework? Discovery?
No, Discovery.
Okay. Good choice.
And music's always been super important to us. And when we opened our second store in DuPont Circle, business was dead. Like, we had like zero customers. So we decided to do some marketing. And, you know, the only thing we knew how to do was just, you know, either in food or music. So
throw parties.
Yeah. So Nate, my business partner, is a DJ on the side. So he went to Guitar Center, bought a big speaker. We plopped it right outside the restaurant and just started blasting music and giving out samples of food and just trying to get people in the store.
Yeah.
And little by little, it worked. We did that every Saturday, and business like tripled there over the first couple months.
Salad House.
And we decided, oh, this is like this connection between food and music is great. Let's throw a block party. So we did a block party. You know, 300 people, hot chip DJ'd. We thought it was like, this is as big as it's gonna get. It's amazing. The next year, we're like, let's do it a little bigger. And one thing led to another, and we met the folks at IMP, Seth Hurwitz, who owns Meriwether Post Pavilion.
That place is amazing, by the way.
Beautiful venue. Really, really iconic. And
it's one of the most beautiful outdoor venues. You feel like you're in a lush park.
Yeah, it's got a great energy there.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, like, why don't we just do it there? And we said, sure. So he said, give us a list of all the bands, your favorite bands, and I'll go after them. Put all these bands on there, like, you know, the Strokes. And all of a sudden, he calls us back 2 weeks later, and he says, the Strokes are interested, so let's do this. Oh my God. And that was Sweet Life 1.
Strokes played?
Strokes headlined, and it was probably one of the best moments in our career for John, Nate, and I. I remember being on stage when they were playing with the two of them, and it was one of those really cool moments.
Cool. You go look around and go, I guess we built something, huh?
Yeah, like, what the hell did we just do? We're supposed to be selling salads, but, you know, we're now in the music business.
You know, it's experiential marketing. It's about lifestyle. I mean, that's what you guys are promoting. You're not just promoting salads.
Yeah, and the festival itself is built on the same ethos of Sweetgreen. So it's meant to be kind of a party with a purpose. So all the food is curated. You know, we change out concessions, bring our farmers in, serve Sweetgreen food, make it kind of a healthy experience. All the energy is offset. You know, we try to
like... giant plate of nachos and deep-fried churros.
Well, the nachos are still there, but there's other options. Yeah. And, you know, it's the idea that the funnest day of the week doesn't have to be the least healthy, where you can have a festival and not make all bad decisions.
yes, not all bad decisions at festivals.
If you want to leave a couple of those bad decisions.
Yeah. But the bad decisions don't have to be about what you eat. It can just be about I don't know. We can't say those on the radio. So what's next? I mean, what, you know, is it only onwards and upwards and bigger and better and different towns and cities and everything?
Yeah, we're gonna. You know, we've built an incredible team of folks in our headquarters and in our stores, and we're just gonna keep building on it, keep building the festival. You know, we're gonna announce the date in a few weeks here for this year's festival.
Come on, who's playing?
I can't tell you yet.
Ah, almost.
We got some good people lined up, though.
You guys always do. You guys always have a good festival. So more cities. Before I forget, you guys also work with some charities. So it's you guys really shame everybody into making them try and live a better life. Eating healthy, having a charity. But you guys do great work. Talk to me about the charity you work with.
Yeah, so we believe in kind of partnering with like-minded folks and organizations in every city that support this kind of healthy education in schools. We have a big program we've built called Sweet Green in Schools where we teach a couple hundred kids a semester. We go into the schools. There's an eight lesson plans that we teach them. Then we invite them into the stores and just – you know, try to teach them the basics of just seasonality and nutrition and healthy eating. And a lot of our employees get involved, and it's really kind of a very rewarding part of the business.
Dude, that's so awesome. I actually, every time I'm in the area, I actually really get excited about going because I know I'm going to have an awesome salad. And good. You guys, your summer corn side, yep. I still think about it. It's so good.
It's going away soon, so enjoy it while it's here.
I know. It's like, honestly, I know I said it before, but I work at 225 Broadway, so if you just want to come on and open it. It's great. I love it. You love life? It seems like you love life.
I love life. We're having fun.
Yeah, you guys are having a lot of fun. You going anywhere for New Year's? You doing any partying?
Haven't decided yet.
All right.
Yeah. All any right. suggestions?
I'm going to Cyprus.
Oh, I've been to Cyprus a few times. I have a bunch of family there.
Really?
Yeah.
You and I are going to talk.
Yeah, let's chat.
Yeah. We're going on a road trip with my girl. We're going to drive around.
It's a great place.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This day just keeps getting better and better. Well, man, I can't thank you enough. Really, thank you for actually stepping up the challenge of making salads cool.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And next time you want to try and call me out at a party,
I'll think twice.
Be prepared for your bluff to be called. What are the nuts and bolts? Where can people find all the information you guys have here on the social media?
Yeah, so you can check out sweetgreen.com. We do a lot of cool content, and we have a lot of great videos that kind of tell you the whole story about what we do. And we have a new store in Tribeca opening early next year, and a bunch more after that, hopefully. So
you guys going to do a party again? That was a good time.
We do a lot of parties, yeah.
No, a store opening party.
Yeah, no, we like having parties in the stores and having other bands come in and help us celebrate.
It's awesome. The store. You got to go. If you haven't been, you really got to go. You can have a salad warm-up before you have one of the chicken for two at Nomad. A little bit of a balance. Have you had that chicken?
It's a good balance. Oh, I've had it many times.
That chicken is...
It's as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. You go, okay, all right, that is worth the money for that. We'll hang out. We got Raccoon Fighter coming up. I'm going to play an old blast from the past just because I just dug out this album. It's 400 Years Transmit Failure here on Snacky Tunes.
You had to spend it out.
I think I've heard that song maybe 1,000 times in my life, and I still love it. Welcome to Snacky Tunes, Raccoon Fighter, Brooklyn Boys in the House.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't been jamming on this pizza. Are you just waiting for after you play?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to demolish that pizza after we finish.
All right, you're going to burn this pizza down. All right, well, why don't you introduce you guys? Let's go around the horn. Who you are, what you play. What do you like to eat?
I guess I'll start. My name is Gabe, and I like to eat pizza.
Awesome.
I love lamp. Yeah, I like pizza. I like almost anything. I had fried chicken last night, and I was like, you know what? This might be my favorite food. This might be the best food on the planet, fried chicken.
Did you make it, or did you get it from somewhere?
I got it from Jimmy's in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, that place is good.
Yeah.
They do it real nice.
It's really good.
All right.
Hi, my name is Zach. I play drums, and I really like the Beastmaster pizza they have here.
Oh, yeah.
I say that's my favorite food.
That's real good. Shout out to Roberta's.
Roberta's is pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I eat here once a week, and I never get tired of it. I could eat here more than once a week. I probably get tired of it.
My name is Sean, and I'm a burger guy.
Really?
Yeah, I love pizza, but I love me a good burger.
Where's your favorite burger place? No pressure.
Oh, man.
The pressure is on.
Way too hard. Well, I will say I was with Gabe last night at Jimmy's, and I had this awesome, like, Hungarian-style cheeseburger with potato pancake and like applesauce and stuff. It was great.
Sounds great.
How do you pronounce it? Latke?
Latkes. Come on. Latkes. Chonica? CH, right? A shout out to Dana for hooking it up. We haven't seen you in forever, Dana. We miss you. I like your haircut. It's long. It's nice. So it sounds like you guys are friends. You guys aren't just showing up on Sunday to, you know, put on appearances. It sounds like you're going to dinner on Saturday nights. That's real friend stuff.
Friend is a strong word, but
oh,
you know, they're all right.
Welcome to Raccoon Fighter Breaks Up on Snacky Tunes. How'd you guys all meet?
Zach and I met growing up, and we're from like a small farm town in South Jersey. So
South Jersey.
Yeah, not I guess not too far from where you grew up. Right?
I grew up
Mainline.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I mean, I guess we would go to Jersey when we were young and like pick berries.
Blueberries in Hamilton or something.
Of course, yeah.
There you go. So Zach and I grew up together, so we've known each other for a while. And
did you guys get in trouble like farm stuff?
I think Zach burned down a farm by accident.
It wasn't an accident.
It was an accident.
Just,
okay.
You know, dry leaves stuff catches very easily.
Kids will be kids.
Were you guys like drinking like moonshine in the cornfields?
No.
Come on.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, you guys have a lot of corn there.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
That Jersey corn?
Jersey corn, Jersey tomatoes, blueberries.
I drank my fair share of Natty Light in a cornfield.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how did you guys meet?
We met Gabe in New York, and oddly enough, he's from the same town. We never knew each other.
No, get out.
Yeah. Seriously.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How did you guys meet each other in New York?
A mutual friend who was also from the same town.
Come on.
Yeah.
What is it, like a bar for Jersey farm kids?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The Blueberry Patch.
Yeah, the Blueberry Patch.
It's great. Over on Grand, right? It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Corn margaritas in the summer, love it. That's awesome. So what? So you're like, well, we're all from the same town. We have to form a band. I think that's the 12th commandment, right?
Yeah, I think we would have formed a band. I think even if I wasn't from Vineland, I think I would have ended up in the band anyway. It was just convenient.
Yeah, were you guys in a band before, and then you guys met him, and you kicked out the other dude, and you're like, with us.
Yeah, we went through a couple different lineups with Zach and I, but we didn't kick the other guys out.
Yeah. They're like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, they're like, these guys. Fuck that.
Can I ask you a serious question? Flyers fans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I just want to say, and this is knock on wood, they turn it around. They've been turning it around. They hit 500 last night ever since the goalie fight. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not see that.
When Emery skated out and they got whopped like 7-0. And he came out and he just beat the other goalie. And the other goalie, you gotta watch.
Two goalies fought?
Wow, the other goalie was just, I mean, it's amazing. Like, it was no, like, Hextall versus some other goalie where, like, both of them injured. Like, the other goalie was like, I don't want to fight. And he just came and beat him up. And ever since then, they've turned it around. Because you know if you said that you were Devils fans, the show would be over, right? It's a hatred. I can't even describe it. I don't even... I mean, I like sports, but, like, my hatred for the Devils is stronger than my liking for sports.
Wow.
So then how'd you guys get together? Did you, like... Did you, like, see a flyer? Like, guitarist wanted must-like rock?
No, it was a mutual friend was, like, you know... They were playing just the two of them, drums and guitar, and they would switch, you know, halfway between the set. And it was basically like, oh, you know... They need a bass player. Yeah, like, I was like, really I can play bass. I don't have a bass, but I know how to play one.
I don't see a bass here.
Yeah, that's true.
I see two guitars.
It's very observant.
Yeah. You know, I've spent my time around some instruments.
Yeah.
All right, enough of this dumb prattle that I'm spewing on a Sunday afternoon. Let's hear a song.
Okay.
What are you going to play?
A song called In My Pocket.
All right, here we go.
Took it from my pocket. Should it be too much to spare? I know.
awesome. Really nice. Really nice. We have done full interviews with, like, accidental reverb and, like, distortion on. and while funny at the time, never great in a re-listen. So you guys just put out an LP called...
Zill.
Where did you come up with that name?
I guess we got it from these little Turkish finger symbols that we used on the record. That's where it started. But we did a Kickstarter campaign to pay for the record. So I guess we figured it would
either, you know, by the end of the Kickstarter campaign, it would either be, you know, short for zilch or short for zillions.
Did you wind up just somewhere in between, though?
We wound up somewhere in between with just Zill.
Did you hit your campaign?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
How much did you ask for?
Zillions.
That's a lot. Thanks, Mom.
They said we couldn't do it.
You said
but
you
we proved them wrong. Take that, Amanda Palmer.
They said we couldn't do zillions of dollars. That's awesome. And so did all of it go to recording the album?
Yeah.
There was no, like, celebratory... six pack?
No, unfortunately.
Or was the six pack part of the recording process?
Oh man, yeah the studio, when we finished, I mean, there's only three of us, but when we finished the, you know, I guess we were there for like 9 days or something like that. When we finished, there was this place, Applehead, up in like near Woodstock.
Yeah.
And they were like, we've never had a band drink this much ever before. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
It was like an island of empty beer bottles outside, and they were like, you guys by far drink the most beer we've seen of any band here ever.
Did you like, thank you?
Exactly. It was like, thank you?
And also like, why are you calling me out on this? 9 days. That's a long stretch for recording an album these days. Especially in the studio.
It snowed while we were up there.
Ooh, that's super pretty. When did you record? Last year?
Yeah, in January.
Man, that must have been nice. Did you guys make snow angels or do any fun snow activities?
Oh, yeah.
They had goats. I went out and played with the goats for a while.
Okay. Were you guys cooking while you were up in the studio, or was it all like...
We cooked some goat.
Did you really?
No. Forget I said that.
Goat's tasty, man.
Forget I said that.
A little goat curry?
We did. There's only like one place that we ordered takeout from. I don't know how many places there are out there, but... Yeah, we just did like a bunch of grocery shopping in the beginning of the week and went to town.
Now, did you go in there having most of the stuff written, or were you like figuring stuff out?
No, we are prepared. I think we're going to do that for the next one. We might try it. I think it'd be interesting. But we wrote like 30 or 40 songs, and we demoed them all here in New York ourselves. And
who narrowed them?
Process of elimination.
Yeah. Who narrowed? Did anyone help narrow them down?
Yeah, we had some friends like come and listen to them, and they gave us their favorites, and we made our own favorites, and our manager made his, and...
My dad chimed in. Said,
yeah?
Said it sucks. Just give
sucks.
Up.
Burn it all.
Said give up.
Go to law school. Here's
law
the app.
School.
Here's the application. So now that the album's out, how did it feel? Like, was it like a big sigh of relief? And like you just felt, you know, on your own personal Rex Manning day? Like it was a good day? What's been the response?
Response has been pretty good. Thanks to Dana.
Yeah, Dana.
Dana in the house.
If it wasn't for Dana, we would have... probably no one listening to us at all or looking at us at all.
Oh, come on.
No, it's true. She cut my hair. I look great now.
Did you really cut his hair?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Man, I'm slow today. All right, let's play another song. What do we have next?
My ticket.
Okay, here we go. Raccoon Fighter live on Snacky Tunes.
She's my ticket there. No. in it.
Who is your ticket? Was that written about a girl? A specific girl?
Yeah. No, not a specific one.
No.
Just
the fantasy of a girl?
All women in general. No, I don't know.
So Dana is your ticket to fame and success and everything?
Sure.
Dana, it's so weird because you're just standing there with your coat on. It's making me so nervous.
I've been wearing a coat all day because it's just like 20 degrees outside.
Oh my God. There was a great Onion article. Headline was Girlfriend. Yeah, girlfriend plans to stay under blanket for next 5 months. And it was appropriate. I don't know any girlfriend who likes the cold. I don't know. You guys don't have girlfriends, do you?
Who likes the cold, male or female?
You do have girlfriends?
Oh, yeah.
All three of you?
Mm-hmm.
Do they all get, like, VIP plus one backstage, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, except for that one place. What was that one place called?
Well, Dana.
There was that one place that was, like, $15, too.
What? Yeah. Guys, I think you know somebody who has access to the list. Multiple lists. Yeah.
Girlfriends included.
Oh, my God. That is... Woof.
No, our last show, we showed them some love, right? We got some food. We got our bowling on. We did Brooklyn Bowl, so
okay.
It was a good time.
If I could just, for the millionth time, talk about which venue is the best hospitality in all of New York City.
By far.
Brooklyn Bowl. Like, hands down, every time we've played there, every time we were there, here's my question, the one we always ask. Did you eat before or did you eat after?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ate after.
Ooh. It's just you wrestle with that thing. It's like, do I wait until, like, midnight to eat?
See, the thing is, we played on a weekday.
Right.
So, you know, if it's not crazy, the kitchen closes, what, like, 11:30, something.
That's I've definitely DJed with wing sauce on my fingers. I love that place. Those guys are the best.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blue Ribbon knows how to do it.
Oh, my God. Blue Ribbon really just every time it comes out, I go, yeah, it's good. Real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you have coming up? What's next? What's your tour?
We're playing Glasslands on December 10th. That's our next in-town thing.
Also love that venue. Shout out to Pop Gun.
Yeah, totally.
They really turned... I mean... that venue is like a real rare, unique success story to go from what it was. Did you guys ever go when it like first opened, when it was like that collective DIY squatty thing?
I think the first time we played there was in 2009. And I think that was before Pop Gun, but I don't know if it was I don't know if there was people squatting in there, but it was definitely different.
Oh, it was different. They have a real sound system now.
Yeah.
So December 10th, you got that. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? You guys going to cook together? You going home? Like, you go to Jersey, right?
Going to Jersey.
Going to Jersey.
Do you guys take the band van down there?
Yeah, the band van being Amtrak or a rental.
Mm.
That's how I do it.
Nice.
I'm the only one of these without a car. These guys have cars.
What, you
like,
can't
you're on your own.
He's going to ride with me. He's
you're
just
on your own.
He's trying to fool you. He's just going to hop in my car.
Hey, man.
Whether I like it or not.
Seats taken. Forrest Gump.
Hopefully it won't snow. I heard we're supposed to get some snow.
Really? Well, that's going to make going out on Wednesday night in Philly a little tough, I guess.
True.
Best party night
True.
Of the year.
Oh, True. Yeah.
Thanksgiving Eve. You guys got plans? You guys want to hit it? You guys give me a call. We'll be in Philly. We'll go out together.
All right.
Cool.
Where are you going?
I guess wherever Dave P is DJing or hanging out. I don't know. To Drinktown, I guess.
Drinktown, USA.
To on the edge of shame my family town. I don't know. I love going out. It's so much fun. It's like you just know the next day is just, you know. And then you get pampered all day.
What have I done? What have I done?
Is that from the roof? So December 10th. And so, any new music coming out, or are you guys just going to tour this bad boy for a while?
We're going to tour this out for a little while. We still have like 20 songs that we haven't released that we want to work on. But
did you record more than you put on the album?
We demoed it ourselves, so it doesn't sound quite as good as the record. But
who gives a shit about that these days?
Yeah, so maybe we'll re-record it. Maybe not. Maybe we'll just like remix it, put it out.
The bedroom demo. You can Dana can market this. Whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Bedroom pop.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah, but I think after our goal is to release a couple more videos from the album. We've done two so far, and you should check them out. Santa Teresa, Wolf at Your Window. Wolf at Your Window is our most recent, which was like Gabe's brainchild.
Yeah,
it's like DIY sci-fi.
It's sort of like Tesla's. Like young cousins took some acid and invented things that don't really work.
Okay, well you had me at Tesla's young cousin. I sort of love how videos have become equally, if not more, important than like where they used to be. I feel like there was a time when videos were just like, oh god, we're not doing. I think the last big budget video was. It was like some My Chemical Romance, like Ghosts of Future, something like that. I think it was the last like. $1 million video, because Kanye's don't count. Like that's just his own. I'm talking like some record company was like, we gotta get the video, we gotta do this. It was like this giant World War II reenactment.
Wow,
I think I remember seeing
for My Chemical Romance.
Yeah,
how about that?
I know they're Good Jersey. You're Jersey.
Yeah, totally.
You
totally.
Got, you have to have them in H2O. You gotta have pro. Oh my god. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where can people find stuff? Where can everyone buy your music? Don't steal it. Just buy it.
RaccoonFighter.com.
RaccoonFighter.bandcamp.com.
True.
What's your social media skills like? You guys up on the Instagram?
We're up on the Instagram, on the Twitter, and on the Facebook. All that stuff.
/RaccoonFighter.
Yep.
Good Googleability, by the way, guys.
Mm.
You really SEO'd your name.
Mm-hmm.
Very nicely. Very nicely. No, no the. Or like dish. God, so many bands. I go, well, you know, I wouldn't name my band Apple if I wanted people to find it. But sure, you do what you got to do. Well, shout out, Nick. Thank you so much. Dana, as always. Let's not make it another few months. No. I think the last time I saw you was last year's Village Voice.
I agree. We were drunk on a ship.
Well, if that's the last time I had to see you, it's a pretty good last time.
It was good.
Shout out to Roberta's. And shout out to everyone from the, I don't know, this is episode 175, so it's crazy. Shit's crazy. And if you need me on Thursday, I'll be full from the moment I get up to when I pass out at about 4 p.m. We'll be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. with oh, it's awesome. Kong from all the way from Fuquoc, Vietnam. Red Boat Fish Sauce. Oh yeah, he's the bomb. If you guys like fish sauce, this stuff is.
I'm down with fish sauce.
Red Boat Fish Sauce doesn't get better. Just fish and salt.
Delicious.
And love. And love.
There's a little on there.
What last jam are you gonna take us out with? And before you demolish this pizza.
It's called Pyramid Scheme to Heaven. Oh, ooh. It's kind of a downer. Come to think of it, don't take this, you know, the wrong way.
I don't take anything the wrong way.
Oh, am I going to use that mic?
It's too complicated. Yeah. Just all do right. It. All right, we ready? All right. Oh. Fuck it, we'll do it live. Here we go. Raccoon Fighter, one last time on Snacky Tune.
Tenfold in, you can't go to bed till you find them again. They got fooled into leading a pyramid scheme to heaven. It man down in 10 seconds flat. You might as well.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.